outrage from GA advocates spills over. HAI supports FAA changes over the Hudson. And Aspen gets the okay to ship its newest displays and weather receiver. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, September 21st, 2009. Responses continued to roll in from aviation's alphabet groups over an article in last Thursday's USA Today and a companion story on NBC's Today Show that painted small general aviation airports as unworthy of federal grants for capital improvements and further stereotyping general aviation itself as a plaything of the wealthy. Pete Bunce, president of the General Aviation Manufacturers Association, called the paper's attention to Centennial Airport, just a few miles south of Denver. A 2008 Colorado Department of Transportation study concluded that the jobs generated by Centennial number 10,485, with annual economic output to the community in excess of $897 million. Quote, "At this time of severe economic distress, it is unconscionable that USA Today would mount such an ill-timed and unwise attack on an essential economic tool for our nation's recovery," unquote. A joint statement issued on behalf of the No Plane, No Gain initiative by GAMA and the National Business Aviation Association criticized the article's slant, quote, "Because the news coverage said nothing about the many ways business aviation provides value, viewers were unfortunately left with a distorted view of the industry. We had hoped for a more balanced approach to such an important story," unquote. You can hear the response to the story of Tom Poberesny, chairman and president of the Experimental Aircraft Association, in the Aero News special feature dated Friday. In tomorrow's special feature, Chris Dancy, spokesman for the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, weighs in. Helicopter Association International President Matt Zaccaro told the U.S. Congress last week he supports the FAA's move to make formerly voluntary procedures mandatory in the Hudson River VFR corridor. In testimony before the House Aviation Subcommittee on Wednesday, in a hearing prompted by last month's mid-air collision of a tour helicopter and a Piper PA-32, Zaccaro said the FAA's move would eliminate any ambiguity and would standardize procedures within the airspace. He went on to say that the FAA's proposal to establish three tiers of airspace would enhance separation of transiting aircraft and agreed that standardizing the floor of the Class B controlled airspace at 1,300 feet would simplify the airspace structure. Zaccaro also supports reallocation of UNICOM frequencies at New York City heliports. He added no single recommendation is a silver bullet, but together each of the recommendations would make a real difference towards enhancing safety. He concluded his remarks by promising HAI's support in bringing about safety improvements in the Hudson Corridor and elsewhere. Aspen Avionics told ANN on Friday the company has received TSO authorization for its EFD-500 and EFD-1000 multifunction displays and the EWR-50 Evolution weather receiver. With certification and production authority in hand, Aspen will begin shipping immediately. Aspen's new multifunction displays are built on the same certified hardware and software platform as the Evolution EFD-1000 primary flight display and feature photo-quality moving maps, terrain awareness, and, linked to optional or existing sensors, traffic displays, storm scope, and a suite of XMWX aviation weather products. MSRP is about $5,000 U.S. for the EFD-500, $79.97 for the EFD-1000, and $24.95 for the EWR-50 weather receiver. Authorized Aspen dealers can get you more details. Up next on ANN, Southwest pilot negotiators try again. Airbus says the world needs lots of A380s. And Jane Garvey joins the United Airlines board. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 21st. I'm Paul Plack. It took Southwest Airlines and SWAPA, the Southwest Airlines Pilots Association, almost 3 years to agree on terms for a new contract to replace the one that became amendable in September of 2006. Just this past June, the negotiators settled, but then the rank and file voted the agreement down. Now, SWAPA says it has listened to the specific concerns of its members and negotiated a new deal that provides slightly less compensation, but maintains long-standing scheduling programs, accelerates retirement benefits, and further restricts the company's ability to code share on both domestic and international routes. Another ratification vote is scheduled for next month. Union President Captain Carl Kowitsky concedes that negotiators won't get much of a break. The new agreement has a 5-year term, but that dates back to September of 06. Quote, "We'll be back at the table with the company in a mere 20 months," unquote. While you might not guess it looking at 2009's sagging order book, Airbus is out with a projection that says the world will need 25,000 new passenger jetliners and freighters over the next 2 decades. At a news conference in London last week, John Leahy, Airbus sales chief, and Laurent Rouad, senior VP of market and product strategy, called for $3.1 trillion in sales over that period and said the trend will be toward larger planes. As Leahy put it, quote, "We can't just pave the sky wingtip to wingtip with small airplanes. Congestion will not allow that," unquote. In what could be wishful thinking, Rouad projected demand for the A380 Super Jumbo will grow, with 1,700 planes seating more than 400 passengers needed over that period. Quote, "We anticipate that there will be as many as 200 city pairs where very large airplanes such as the A380 are going to fly before 2028, unquote. Following delays which put the big plane's debut 2 years behind schedule, analysts said Airbus would have to sell at least 400 of the type before it ever sees a profit for the company. Like other recent analyses, the Airbus forecast projects the Asia-Pacific region will lead growth, accounting for 31% of the demand for new passenger aircraft over the next 20 years. United Airlines parent UAL Corporation says former FAA Administrator Jane Garvey will join its board of directors effective this Wednesday. Garvey became the first woman to lead the FAA after her appointment by President Clinton in 1997. She's also served as acting administrator and deputy administrator for the Federal Highway Administration and as a director of Boston Logan International Airport. She was more recently on the Obama transition team and has headed the U.S. public-private partnerships at J.P. Morgan. UAL CEO Glenn Tilton commented, quote, "We are pleased to welcome a leader of Jane Garvey's caliber to our board. We couldn't ask Jane to join us at a more opportune time as we enter our multi-day, long-term strategic board session, an annual session that we ask of our board every September," unquote. Garvey said she looks forward to working with UAL to navigate the industry's challenges. Quote, "It's my honor to be part of the team that recognizes those challenges and continues to do the hard work to improve the business," unquote. Still ahead, NASA mission schedulers get all misty. You could be a test pilot for the Martin jetpack. And here's why hand propping went out of style. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, September 21st. I'm Paul Plack. The end of an era is within sight. NASA has assigned the crew for the last scheduled space shuttle mission, STS-133, scheduled to launch in September of next year. STS-133 will carry a pressurized logistics module to the International Space Station. Veteran shuttle commander and retired Air Force Colonel Stephen Lindsay will command the 8-day mission. Air Force Colonel Eric Boe will serve as pilot. Mission specialists are Air Force Colonel Benjamin Drew and long-duration spaceflight veterans Michael R. Barrett, Army Colonel Timothy Copra, and Nicole Stott. The Augustine Commission, that blue ribbon panel assigned to evaluate the U.S. manned space program, suggested in its recent report that the shuttle's mature technology and reliability argued for keeping it, But aside from a few lawmakers, very few people seem to think that will actually happen. You may have seen the Martin jetpack at AirVenture 2008. If you listened carefully to the comments of Glenn Martin, you heard him say at the time that the next step was to find a development partner with expertise in flight controls. Well, apparently, the New Zealand company has succeeded. Martin now says, quote, "Because of the fly-by-wire systems we have developed in the last year, we recently had a novice pilot fly solo quite safely with 12 minutes of flight time," unquote. The next step? It's your turn. There's an auction underway right now on eBay for an adventure package that includes jetpack test pilot training involving at least 6 flight sessions over 3 days. Video will be provided, and the pilot will be signed off as a Martin jetpack test pilot and registered in the company records for historical recognition. You're going to have to provide your own transportation to Christchurch, New Zealand to do it, and no, you can't log in as jet time. The Martin jetpack doesn't actually have a jet. It's powered by a big 2-stroke piston engine driving 2 ducted fans. But Evinrude pack apparently didn't have the same appeal. The auction runs through 5:16 p.m. Pacific time on Thursday. As of last night, there was one bid in for $30,000. Just go to ebay.com and type jetpack, all in one word, into the search box. And finally today, there's a reason your insurance costs less if you have an electric starter. Don Pepino tells authorities he did tie down his Cessna 152 before hand-starting it last week at Space Coast Regional Airport in Florida. Unfortunately, it was tied down at the end of one wing. So when the plane roared to life, it spun around the tie-down a few times, tore loose, and fast-taxied about a half mile across the airport straight toward a glass building. Fortunately, at least for the building, 2 cement columns slowed it down by tearing off the wings before it could hit all those big windows. Titusville Fire Department spokesman Scott Geinecke tells Florida Today, quote, "Just another couple of feet and it could have gone into the building and created a much bigger mess than we have," unquote. The plane is a total loss, and Don got a few scrapes when it knocked him down. But no other people or aircraft were harmed in the making of this story. Just a wild guess here. I'm thinking that new battery would have been cheaper. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller tells us why his flight school has a policy of avoiding practice areas. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.